through 17. Jesus says to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." Let us pray. Father, you have loved us through the Son, and he has told us to remain in that love. Thank you for your word, the way you speak to us, that helps us to stay in your love and live in it and live it out to one another and toward the world. Help us to hear now as you speak to us. We pray in your Son's name. Amen. Well, last Sunday I preached about your relatives. Not just your family by birth, but especially your family by faith and baptism, your relatives by new birth through Christ. We spent some time this past week, and even as we prayed earlier in our service, giving thanks to God for our biological families. But we also give thanks for the relatives whom Jesus has gathered and assembled once again here today. I stressed last week in our message that from a Christian perspective and in the significance of the light of baptism, water is thicker than blood in many ways. And so that's part of our reason for being back together here this morning. You spent some quality time this past week connecting again with the folks who are tied to you genetically, and you've come back here again today to spend some time with people who are your kin through Jesus our Lord. And this morning, I want us to shift the focus some from family to something that's close to it, but not identical to it. Let's shift from family to friendship. Family to friendship. Scriptures often use family as a way of talking about the life of God's people, but in some other cases, the scriptures talk about our relationship with God and with one another using the language of friends and friendship. Jesus does that this morning in our scripture reading from the Gospel of John. Our text is part of Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples. He's preparing them. He's preparing them for his death and their own persecution and hardships. He tells them that because of their union with him, they're going to face troubles and difficulties, but he also comforts them, and he reassures them with the promise that the Spirit will come to teach them, to guide them, and to help them. And as they follow Jesus, and especially as they keep following Jesus in the midst of opposition and hardships and troubles, Jesus' community of disciples is supposed to, what he calls, bear fruit. Now, bearing fruit means acts of love. It means performing the works of love. These are the tangible sign that they belong to Jesus, that they're his, that they're his family, that especially they're his friends. John is the writer of our fourth gospel that we're hearing from here today, and he was known in the ancient church for his commitment to and stress upon and his concern for love. One of the early church fathers named Jerome used to write about how John, when he was far along in years, was carried into the assembly, and as he was carried into the assembly, he would usually say, "Little children, love one another. Little children, love one another." And after a while, once his disciples had sort of gotten tired of that, they would say, "Master, why do you keep saying this? Why do you keep saying this?" And John answered, "It's the Lord's command. It's the Lord's command. If this be done, it is enough." But we also know that we're not capable in and of ourselves of doing this. That's why our love for Jesus and our love for one another has to be generated by and flow out of our bond with Jesus, just as his love is generated by his bond with the Father. In other words, the love of God and Jesus that they share with each other is supposed to be enacted in the community of his followers, embodied in the life of his family, the church. This love isn't something that we're able to just muster up on our own and accomplish on our own. It is what Jesus says it is in our text here today. It's fruit. It's the fruit that flows naturally out of relationship with Jesus, out of bond with Jesus. And in our scripture passage today, one of the key ways that Jesus talks about your relationship with him is the language of friendship. Now, at some point during the next few weeks, some of you will be watching probably that holiday classic, It's a Wonderful Life, along with some of your other favorite holiday shows on Christmas Eve. George Bailey, played by Jimmy Stewart, is on the verge of suicide when he has an intervention from his angel, Clarence. And Angel sort of takes him back to see how much his life has touched other people's lives. How different life in the community would have been if he hadn't been born and lived there among them. And in the film's closing scene, George runs back home, where he's expecting he'll probably be arrested because of an issue regarding some lost money, only to discover that his wife and uncle have gathered all the townspeople who've generously contributed more than enough to cover the problem with the money. And on top of that pile of money is a copy of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. And just on the inside is an inscription from Clarence, the angel, quoting Mark Twain, who wrote, "Dear George," says Clarence, then he quotes Mark Twain, who wrote, "Remember, no man is a failure who has friends. No man is a failure who has friends." Now, that really wasn't the only thing that Mark Twain ever said about friendship. He also once noted, "The holy passion of friendship is of so sweet and steady and loyal and enduring a nature that it will last through a whole lifetime if not asked to lend money," he said. So as you can tell, definitions of friendship vary. It can be hard to pin it down or get a real firm grip on it. Confusing kind of thing to describe. There's a man named Ronald Sharp who's studied a lot of the literature of friendship and written a lot on the literature of friendship, who says, "It's not about what someone can do for you. It's who and what the two of you become in each other's presence." The notion of doing nothing but spending time in each other's company has, in a way, become a lost art. People are so eager, he says, to maximize efficiency of relationships that they've lost touch with what it is to be a friend. Just to be with somebody else, to be in their presence. Not worried about, is this relationship working as efficiently and productively, maybe, as I think it should or want it to, but just that art of being with others and what the two of you become in each other's presence. Now, in some ways, technology has helped in that way, but maybe in some other ways it has hindered, and it doesn't have all the answers either. There was a professor named Sherry Turkle. She talks about how years ago she talked to a 16-year-old girl who was seriously considering the option of getting a computer companion. According to Turkle, it's not that the robot she had imagined, a vastly more sophisticated Siri, was so inspiring. It's that she'd already found people to be so disappointing. And now, for the first time, she explained to me, people have options. Back then, I thought her comments seemed prescient. Now, they're timely. The girl said, there are people who have tried to make friends, but stumbled so badly that they've given up. So when they hear this idea of robots as companions, well, it's not like a robot has the mind to walk away or leave you or anything like that. So Turkle says maybe there is some truth in the fact that a robot won't break your heart like other human beings sometimes can. But at the same time, she acknowledges, the robot doesn't have the capacity for that kind of intimacy and human love that comes through people together, that kind of love that we need in our lives. One of the ways that that love comes into our lives is friendship. And above all, that's what friendship is. It's a gift from God. Many of you know from your own experience what it's like to give and share that gift with other people, people with whom you formed a bond of some sort, a bond that's characterized by trust, transparency, openness to one another, welcome toward one another. It's true that there are different kinds of friendships, there are different levels of friendship, but in one way or another, they all have something to do with trust, with transparency to each other, investing time and attentiveness in one another, being committed for the long term. In other words, friendship takes time. It doesn't just happen. You have to be willing to be intentional about it, willing to cultivate it. There are some ways where our definitions of friendship can get so broad that we lose a sense of the depth of what it can be. And like I said, technology is part of that picture and that situation nowadays too. What, for instance, actually constitutes friendship in social media? What constitutes or defines friendship? We're now in a time and an atmosphere where friend is a verb. You friend someone. Now, it's true that, for instance, a Facebook friend can be someone that you share life deeply with, that you spend time with, that you talk to, not only online, but maybe even talk to beyond that, on the phone, or spend time together with face-to-face in that kind of friendship. But at the same time, some Facebook friends can be near strangers or folks that are just barely there in your network. Plus, if the connection or the relationship gets sort of marginal, or maybe it gets even downright dangerous, with one click of the mouse these days, you can unfriend somebody. That's more of the atmosphere that we live and operate in. All that to say that in the life of cyberspace, a friendship can be started or ended with the click of a mouse. So we need to take these kinds of things into account in our context of living. In today's scripture passage, go back with me here to John's gospel. Some of the disciples, for the sake of efficiency, had asked Jesus if he could just Skype them to talk over what they needed to discuss in this case. But Jesus said, no, the subject matter is too important, too deep. We need something even greater than that. This is a very intimate kind of situation. I no longer call you servants, says Jesus, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. The word translated there as friend comes from the verb that means to love. To love. In other words, a friend, as Jesus speaks of that here, is someone who is loved. Someone who is loved. Those who are loved. So here in our text, friendship has sort of an extra dimension to it, doesn't it, than what we sometimes think of with friendship. It has an extra depth to it. Friendship, here in the words of Jesus, means being drawn into this intimate, loving bond that the Father and the Son have with one another. And by following Jesus and faith in Jesus, you're drawn into this bond that Jesus and the Father have with one another. Being a friend of Jesus means being a friend of God, the way that Jesus talks about it here. And with friendship comes knowledge. God knowing you, you knowing God. Now, that doesn't mean that you understand all the mysteries about God and his ways and work in the world or his ways in the universe. When Jesus says, "Everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you," he doesn't mean that all the divine secrets are now unveiled. There are still many that we don't understand or grasp or know. But I think what he is saying is that there's something about friendship. And there's something about love, friendship in the sense of that deep love. There's something about friendship that removes barriers, that takes down barriers. I think we know this in our own experience with friends. When you're a friend with someone, part of what you do is you disclose yourself to that person. Friends don't hide behind emotional walls. They're open to one another. They welcome one another. They're receptive to one another. They reveal who they are. They share secrets. They deal with one another honestly and transparently. And if there's something that starts to get in the way of or hinder or operate against the friendship, the friends will often do something about that to remove it. Whatever needs to be done gets done in order to preserve and perpetuate the relationship, the friendship. In listening to our scripture passage today, reflect with me on how Jesus is God's way of restoring us to friendship with himself. Through Jesus, what does God do? God discloses himself to us in a full and decisive way. Now, I know that this is November 25th. A month from now, it's Christmas. But even before you get to that day itself, we're always talking about and reflecting on the significance of Christmas in some way. We're always affirming that what John says earlier in the gospel, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So God refuses to be a stranger to you. He doesn't want that. God refuses to be a stranger to you, to have you be alienated from him or separated from him or estranged from him. Instead, through Jesus, what does God do? God deals with us in forgiveness. And what does God do, says John at the beginning of his gospel? Through Jesus, God takes away the sin of the world that separates you and me from him to bring us back. In other words, God comes near to us in mercy through Jesus, and God opens his heart up to us, and what we see is a heart of love, depth of love, that's categorized by Jesus here as friendship too. Not just love in the sense of sort of a vague benevolence or he grudgingly accepts us. Nothing like that really, but a deep and redeeming love that takes the initiative to come to us in our lostness and our darkness. What does Jesus say in our scripture passage today? You didn't choose me. I chose you. I came. God took the initiative. Friendship. with God starts on God's side. It doesn't start on our side. And what starts with God is no easy love, we're told. It's costly love. Costly love that's there embodied in the path of Jesus to the cross. Greater love has no one than this, Jesus' words in our text today. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. So Jesus, once for all, gift of himself on the cross, is then to be received and embodied and enacted and lived out in the community of his people, his followers, his friends. Friends of Jesus called the church. This is how we and the world are to know that we belong to Jesus, he says, is by this reality of being Jesus' friends, God's friends. I want you to reflect with me on one more thing about the importance of friendship, and that is when you're someone's friend, you take seriously what they take seriously. And they take seriously what you take seriously. That's part of the nature of friendship. And one of the best ways to tell what Jesus takes seriously, of course, is to listen to what he commands. What he commands. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. My command is this. This is it. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. So our love for one another is measured by Jesus' love. It's measured by Jesus' love for us. And what kind of love is Jesus' love? Well, not the kind of love that only reaches out once it's deserved. Not that kind of love. Not the kind of love that's only extended to those who are lovable, not that kind of love, but a kind of deep love that takes the initiative and takes those who are alienated and strangers and turns them into friends. That's the love of God in Christ. So, people who are loved by Jesus in that way, and who receive that and believe in it and live it out. People who are loved by Jesus in that way and live in Jesus' way of love are called the church. Jesus' people, the church. Like every other congregation, ours is a real human community whose purpose is, as Jesus says in our text today, to remain in Jesus' love. That's a big part of our mission. Remain in Jesus' love. That means to be his friends and to display his friendship to the world. And that's what it means, I think, ultimately, to be what we often call a friendly church. A friendly church, well, that includes having smiles for each other, yes. It includes relating to one another and treating one another with warmth and care, yes. But most of all, as we hear in our scripture passage today, above all, it means giving our lives away to each other. Giving ourselves to each other. Giving our lives away to each other. Treating one another as people for whom Jesus laid down his life. That's who that person is beside you and down that row of pews with you today. People for whom Jesus laid down his life. People along with you, whom Jesus is eager to call friend, friends of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for how you have taken the initiative to come to us through the Son, to take away the sins of the world, our own, so that we can be forgiven and restored to relationship with you and bond with you. Thank you that you reach out to us in our lostness and darkness to take us in our alienation from you and our estrangement from you, and to turn us into your friends in the depth of what that means in love. We thank you, Father, for friends that we have in our lives, those special individuals with whom we spend time and with whom we trust and are transparent. What those people have meant to us in our lives, we thank you for them. We thank you especially for this gathering today of Friends of Jesus. We pray that we will grow deeper into what that means and into how to give our lives away to each other in obedience to the command of Jesus to love as he has loved us. We know it's your love, Father, in him and through him to us, that's made all this even possible. So we give you praise and thanks now. In the name of your Son, amen.